We got the hair going up.
That's all right. There are into the designated places where they designated at the end.
Okay.
Are we on?
Right.
All right. So it is 10 a.m. on Friday morning, January 18th. We were here with the Veterans Affairs Commission to discuss the 2020 possible budget for Veterans Affairs. So I'm going to let Rep. McClain, the director, start with opening statements.
All righty. Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for adjusting our schedule here so we can make the Capitol Day next week. Basically, we got a few items here that I'd like to kind of cover this morning.
Okay.
I know you've got a schedule right after this, right?
Yes, but that's if you take the time you need.
Yep.
The other people at the table are very, very confident.
And over the years, we've stepped up outreach quite a bit. So I always want to thank the board for their support. For being able to let us do that, because truly, there's a lot of veterans out there that just can't find our office. We're able to do those kind of things. Recently, we just started going to city halls. We've been 8 towns now and found 26 people by doing that. So, it's kind of in a nutshell, we're doing a lot more outreach.
Greg, did you figure out why these particular people had not reached out to the commission by calling to your office or attending some other event?
Well, here's kind of the thing. Iowans are proud and veterans are proud. A lot of them think it's a handout, and it's not as a handout.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've earned it. A lot of benefits that we filed for. First of all, the veterans may or may not even know about it, so that's part of our job is to educate them on what might be available to them. And let them know about the benefits. A lot of times, here's some benefits you're not receiving. And let them know about those, and then one thing leads to another, and then we end up filing. So sometimes we have to twist our arms.
All right.
You know, they get on the file. So.
All right. Okay. So, Pat Eakin, as chair of the commission right now, do you have any kind of opening statement for us?
Not really, except for we're kind of handed out land. Yeah. Three of us found some five that that's under taken care of. And we had a Story County policing meeting last night, and we Brett told them that there's two openings, so if anybody's interested, hopefully we'll get some people to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to Kate and thank her for coming on board, but don't know when she's going to make it yet, so just have to wait to see how she gets in. But so I think she will be going pretty good.
Great. Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll go ahead and start to take a look, starting with the revenue. Board members, did anything pop out to you?
Well, I was just curious why in fiscal 17 you received $5,800. Was there a large donation that year? Do you remember? Because it doesn't, it sticks out, so I just wondered.
That was a $5,000 supposed to go toward the Freedom Flight as opposed to Veterans Affairs, and it was a misunderstanding, and we got the letter 2 months later saying how it was supposed to be done.
Yep.
So you'll find a $5,000 expense that was a one-time pay that time.
Thank you.
The letter was clear, the check was not.
Okay. And I have nothing else about revenue.
Of course, on that $10,000, that's an annual appropriation. That won't actually be decided for about 100 days. That's the end of the session when that gets done. We get that
so it's not just set in statute, it's every year
annually.
In the appropriation.
An annual appropriation.
Okay.
If you look back FY19, it was $9,575. different number.
So it was the only year it's been less than 10,000 as far as licensing numbers.
And at that, prior to that, it was scheduled to go to 4,500. But we're a little proactive on those kind of things. And
so you might have done a capital thing.
10,000.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that explanation. I was thinking it was statutory that you it was always, but it requires some lobbying.
A lot of counties really count on that. I mean, the intent of that, and I don't know how long the 10,000 is going to last, because the intent was we had 12 counties without a Veterans Affairs office.
Okay.
So the intent was to get those counties open.
Okay, so
we're pretty well established now. So I don't know how long this is going to last, but all indications we're going to receive this $10,000 in August, and it goes to the auditor's office.
Thank you.
Yep.
Moving on to expenditures.
Vehicle fuels and maintenance. Well, are we doing something different with community services than we've done in the past? And why is it, if we are, why isn't it reflected in this year's budgets, this expenditure so far?
What line item?
So that's vehicle fuels and maintenance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're doing shared costs with community services. We've been doing that for 2 or 3 years now. What we were looking at doing, Carla and I was looking at doing, I'm kind of the icebreaker on this one. We were looking at leasing a couple of cars. So that dollar figure you see in there would include leasing. And I just kind of ran some numbers here. Both of our vehicles are 2010s. Mileage of one is 79,829. The other one is 67,110. In FY18, $1,231.46 was spent in repairs. And so far this year is at 526 for a total of $1,758. And that's including one towing, which I had the privilege of riding in the tow truck. So anyway, the vehicles are getting older. We got miles on them. Probably looking at either replacing these cars. So Carla and I were talking about a lease program, where one thing kind of nice about that is the budget kind of stays the same. And up and down, all of a sudden this year we got to buy a couple cars, which the budget's going to go up. And then the next year drop down, where leasing stay the same would be kind of a good plan there. I don't know county wise if anybody else is leasing or we're purchasing.
Other than their motor here, which obviously is a huge expense. But
yeah.
I've heard, this is just kind of heard as a consumer, that sometimes the leases are awkward or cost you more than you think you're going to. There's a set number of miles, and you go over that set number of miles. And so that would be probably my biggest concern is, how many miles might the car be put on, and would they realistically keep under whatever the contract?
With these being 8 years old, we were at one almost 80,000.
Mm-hmm. Right, and if I remember right, Carla's still trying to get some information from some of the dealerships on their lease programs. The other implication to this is most leases would then require comprehensive coverage on the vehicle. So that would be another expense that we currently don't have. But Carla's hoping to have more information about this with her work session next week.
So that dollar figure is put in there if we go the route of leasing two vehicles.
And the other thing I'd say about these cars, they've been in the shop quite a bit. when the county purchased them, I was still over at Community Services, they were leased vehicles. So we purchased, those two Impalas are leased vehicles that we purchased from George Light.
So they had probably 30,000 on it or so.
Yeah, if not a little bit less than that. And I think what's evolved over time, especially at Community Services, as we close out the case management program, I mean, we're just seeing less miles put on cars because we don't have staff driving all over like they used to. I mean, we used to drive to all four corners of the state when we had a case management program. So, but yeah, so hopefully Carla has some additional information.
Thought share on that with Community Services, Veterans Affairs. I mean, we caught share on a lot of things from the newspaper, to the copy machine, to the shredding machine, to just that. So pretty much any way we can think of to share something, we do.
Yeah, so sounds like we're moving forward.
So I would just say this. I would say I believe strongly that it's our responsibility as a board to make sure that we have adequate vehicles for any of our departments that need them. And I'm appreciative that Community Services and Veterans Affairs can share these two vehicles. And if it's time to get new vehicles or a new vehicle and we start rotating, then I think we should do that. I don't believe that that has, I think the idea of leasing is a much bigger, broader conversation if we're going to start down that road for a lot of reasons, than just saying if we need a new vehicle or two new vehicles, let's go get them. I don't believe that the cost implications of that acquisition should be reflected in this line item. I think this line item is truly for vehicle fuels and maintenance, with the understanding that we're going to provide adequate vehicles, and if these two vehicles aren't adequate, we need to take care of that. But I would suggest that the 1,050 that we had in last year, and that we're frankly tracking on this year, is the appropriate amount to have in this line item, with the caveat that we need to make sure that there are adequate vehicles for Community Services and Veterans Affairs.
Are you suggesting that the reestimated go down from the 1,500?
Yes, I'm suggesting both. I'm suggesting that it looks to me like the 1,050 is an appropriate amount. Especially if we go down the road of getting a new vehicle or a couple new vehicles, because then actually your cost of maintenance goes down. I would encourage us in every general use vehicle that we consider, we start looking more at the hybrid or at least high mileage kind of vehicles. Especially now that, as I understand it, the need for Community Services to have the big able to transport people is not nearly as important as it was when we acquired those two Impalas. I think we ought to be looking at all options. I would hope we would have a big conversation before we go down the road of leasing any vehicles. That's a fundamental change, and it's problematic with the way we operate our insurance and everything else. So it's going to take a big conversation.
$12 for 6 months. Why don't we just double that and make it $1,200? Because they may have some maintenance coming through.
They may, but so Linda, and we sure do that. This re-estimation is a complete swag number for Lisa Martin. And anytime I look at it and I feel like we're close, I suggest we just leave it where it is, because we're going to deal with it at the end of the year anyway. What's important is what kind of number we plug in for next year, and that's where I think the 1,050 to 1,100 looks to me like it's the appropriate number for vehicle fuels and maintenance, without the acquisition cost of the vehicle.
Without the acquisition, yeah.
Well, and currently, I believe we're 58% of this line item used.
Yep.
And for another number, if you want it, on the lease, it was $2,268 a year to cover the lease.
A month.
My part.
On your part.
Yeah, half of. So when you meet with Carla here, she's going to have the same number.
You're budgeting 50-50 between the
two.
Yeah, but you're not getting a car for $500 a year.
No, that'd be 5,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. At least 5,000, around 5,000 a year, that would be the lease. So. Yeah, so I'm fine. If we don't lease, then the original numbers, I think that probably works.
Okay.
Kind of the next thing I had on here is office supplies. You see a little jump there. At our fall training, I believe it was our fall training week, we had a presentation from MicroPack. It's $500 a piece, so Aaron and I could be able to do a lot of claims processing with this program. MicroPack. They update. Instead of having a bunch of paper files, we got everything online. They update the federal forms. There's 500 and some of those, and quite a bit of that. Now, merging our files into theirs was very expensive. We decided not to go that route. But $1,000 added to this line item would enable us to get MicroPack.
And those would be on your desktop computer?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a web-based program, so it can be accessed anywhere. So, like, if he's out there, Slater, visiting, you know, whatever, he'd be able to go ahead and do his paperwork, you know, that patient's right there.
So do you have a laptop?
Yes.
And it's the county laptop?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on a docking, I have a docking station.
Uh-huh.
And I have a laptop.
And the reason I asked is that in some of the conversations that occurred at the end of last year, one of them, a comment was made to me about you, and I may have misunderstood the timing of it, okay, but that there was a discussion about wouldn't it be nice if Brett could go ahead and do all his forms while he's in the home. And so I might have got the time frame as understanding that was still a need as opposed to description of a past conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I think you heard the conversation right. I think you just took that to mean that he didn't have the hardware to do it.
Correct.
And what they're saying is he doesn't have the software to do it. That's the idea behind this license, as I understand it, is that you'll be able to access the forms wherever you are.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so that's exactly correct, is that, yeah, it was communicated to me there was no hardware available to that. But great, so I'm just going to cross that $2,500 off my list that I didn't answer.
A little increase there on that. That'll cover my go back. We're okay with that one.
So
and currently we're at 31%.
But you can invite those here.
You have it now. We do not have it now.
Because you're up in your office supply 2,000 for the current year for re-estimated, and it doesn't look like you're on track to spend that. So I didn't know if you were planning on buying it this year or not.
Well, I'd like to get it as soon as possible if there's we have money, maybe.
So you want to take it out of next year and buy it this year?
Forward? Is it a buy or is it per year? Is it a subscription that we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a license.
It's a license.
Yeah. Yeah, per year.
It looks inexpensive per year given the increase in productivity and access. That's just me in general thinking that, you know, some licenses that we pay for seem to be more valuable than others to us, more beneficial, and this one seems more beneficial. So I would think the earlier you got on it, the earlier your department and the county would be able to benefit from it.
What's the cost again? What's the annual cost?
That's $1,500.
$1,000
a year.
I mean, that's...
And so if we could do it in this fiscal year, we can get going. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for us, I'm sure. Or if the board wants to wait, we can wait till July and do this too. So
I'm fine with it coming out this year. I'm pretty sure we got the $1,000.
Well, in the reestimated 2,000, we've got it. We still got some additional money left for other supplies coming in for it. So just doing the reestimate takes care of it.
Yeah, and we only used 31% so far, so.
What kind of commitment is it to, so we've got the vested intentions, we think this is going to be really helpful, we think we're really going to use it. Let's say we get into it and we find out it's not practical, for whatever reason. You're not using it, you're not really able to take advantage of this $1,000 that we're spending. How long are we we committing ourselves to it if you guys analyze it and say, yeah, it's a good idea, we'd love to be able to do it, but it's just not practical?
Our dilemma is 1 year at a time.
Okay.
Okay. Right here?
Yeah,
1 year, there's no contract there, it's 1 year at a time.
So then what I would ask, if we go ahead and do it this year, go ahead and do it this spring, and then we commit to it for next year, and you guys be prepared when we sit down at budget work session next year to just tell us what kind of impact it's having, if any, on you being able to do your work.
Yeah.
Would there be any need to run it by IT just to show them what you're looking at?
Yeah.
I don't know if they
have to put it on our number.
That'd be my next step. And there are some other counties that have this out there, so we kind of break the ice for us a little bit.
Any other questions on expenses?
Communication services.
Okay.
We've used 33% so far. That covers the computer and one telephone and one fax line.
Is there a reason? So it looks to me like it's an $1,100 a year kind of expense that we're looking at it. So is there a reason that it needs to be $1,500?
Well, because I thought things were going up.
Okay, yeah, so, and I don't think they're going up. I think the last few years we've been putting in swag. I think this year is our expectation that everything's going to stay the same. I think it's honestly an $1,100 line item.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I suggest why it was higher in 16 and 17? It was higher than $1,100 there.
Different phone system.
Different phone system. And you have an extra line. You so much line.
No, just my.
Aaron's
have
two lines, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two lines and then plus a fax line. Probably during that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 1100 is fine. I threw that extra in there with thinking that our fee was going up.
Yeah. Next on medical care, unless somebody has something above that.
I don't.
Go ahead. Okay, super. Thank you. Clearly, we're up this year from what we've been in previous years, but to me, that's a hit and miss. I mean, so we've always plugged a number in there, recognizing that we're going to spend whatever we need to spend. And so I don't, it's not compelling to me that just because it's up this year means it's going to stay up in perpetuity unless we see something that tells us it's going to stay up in perpetuity. And so I'd suggest that clearly re-estimating for this year going to $1,000 or $1,100 makes sense to me, but I don't think that should compel us to go up over the $300 that we plugged in previous years that frankly has worked previous years.
Right. Kind of what the idea is to do more for our veterans in the lines of dental and vision, not medical. Medical we have the VA hospital for.
Yep.
And what this was a vision assist for a veteran. So just the idea to increase that is just so we could do more in those two areas.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was kind of the commission's idea on that one. Right, Commission?
I mean, so if we're offering to do more, our veterans are actually going to use it. So do you believe that there is the market out there to utilize this? Because it's not like we've been saying no to people.
Right. I think it's just doing a little bit better outreach in these areas so that veterans know that we have this assistance.
I would say your plan to do more outreach in general would probably need to increase in this kind of cost.
But a lot of them have, with the VA healthcare system, you might have vision. It's hard to get dental. Hardly anybody can get dental there. Or if you're not even, just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you're eligible for VA healthcare. You may not have either one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When a veteran approaches you about dental care, do you try to use the MICA clinic first, send them to that, or is this anticipation if you were paying for private dental?
Yeah, we send them to the Story County Dental Clinic because we can title 19 prices on.
Okay.
So less than $200 will get an x-ray, cleaning, and exam.
Well,
So that's kind of what we do on dental. You know, it's just important to have, you know, your teeth taken care of. I mean, so we don't lead to other issues. You know, so that was just kind of the going forward. The vision is to be able to do more in those areas. If you want to take it down to 750, we can see, but.
I don't have a problem with keeping it at the $1,100.
Okay.
Given that we're only budgeting 50 for medicine, 50 for food provisions, which to me is, you know, they can't go to the VA hospital to get food or provisions. So we never know when that ask is going to come. And even you jumped out of transportation at $50. Those are very minimal amounts. And since we're really talking about kind of cumulatively, one veteran could come in and have multiple needs and eat up a lot of that $1,100. So whether we put it there or we take them out and dump some in the other areas, I'd like to see there's a at least a collective amount to be able to serve.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So, Lars, I appreciate that. But it's not like we're saying when we hit a dollar limit on this that we're done. We're serving the prevent veterans based on what they need, and we're just plugging a dollar amount in that we feel like is realistic. But I don't think that should ever be taken as, oh, we've spent $50 in this line item, so now we're done providing food.
I understand.
We have
I understand that, but I just as far as the 1100 looks really reasonable, if you want to say that it's a kind of placeholder anticipation between all.
Yeah, so I don't disagree given the new outreach that we're doing, but $1,100, while it's a small amount, it's reasonable. It's not reasonable when you compare, if you look at what we truly spent in the past, unless we're truly going to do this for outreach. Now, I'm fine with the $1,100. This is philosophical more than anything else is we try to get to as close to real numbers as we can with the recognition that we're going to do whatever we need to do.
We've got an increase in that line item, and I think Loris made the point that these kind of roll up together. We've got a decrease in rent payments. We've got a decrease in utilities payments. We've got flat on transportation. You know, if you were going to pull all these together, you know, I think, and look at the trends, I would say it looks to me like it's pretty even, and I didn't do the math. I have no problem with the 1100, and because it's hard to say, you know, food and provisions, that could be 200. It was in fiscal 17. It could be nothing.
And I believe that when Aaron and Brett are meeting with veterans, and if there's a nutrition need that comes up or a transportation need, you're trying to make sure they know about the resources and to use those first. And if they've exhausted the food pantries that they're eligible for, then it makes sense for the county to come in. So I think some of those amounts are placeholder kinds of amounts, too, in the event there is a need or an extenuating circumstance.
And a lot of, on the food line item, we're probably, that's a placeholder, get gift cards from, GI Jill's up in Roland, did a benefit, raised $1,000, turned it into gift cards. Aaron and I have those to give directly to veterans. So I don't know if these gift cards, how long they're going to last, but so far we've got money now. Probably hardly ever 10 cents like that. So that's just a placeholder there.
I think keeping up the 1100 says we're supporting the vision.
Okay. Other items that you'd like to talk about, line items?
Same conversation. Rent payment. I think it's realistically a $4,000 line item. I think that comes and goes. What we see is when the economy gets really bad, we see that maybe go up a little bit. But we're really spending $4,000 in that line. Again, we're going to do what we need to do. I just think I think $4,000 is more realistic. And then I'll just keep going because it's the same conversation. Funeral services, again, we're going to spend, you know, we had one big year 3 or 4 years ago. And the reality is when we've got to spend the dollars to help bury somebody, we're going to spend the dollars. We're just trying to plug in the dollar amount that is actually close as we build our budget.
Yeah. And Brett, funeral services, that includes a recommendation of a rate increase, correct?
Yeah, that's a 2% recommendation. Right. That ends up being $1,993 per funeral with a 2% rate increase. I mean, look at the last quarter, we spent $5,862 on funerals. So, you know, we really can't propose $5,000 if we just went through $6,000 in 3 months.
But in 2017 we did 2 years. In 2018 we did the fiscal year. 2018 we did one funeral. And all I'm saying is, yeah, we did five this year. What we did eight. It feels like it was eight in 2016. We don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so we're budgeting to a complete guess of what it is. And I just wanted to throw that out there. If we're changing our philosophy as a board, which is reasonable for us to do, then that's fine. But if we're still philosophically trying to budget to what we think we're actually going to spend as best we can, then it's a different conversation.
I believe that a $7,500 is realistic, in part because of the 2% increase, which is not a large increase to compensate the funeral homes who already are giving a very reduced cost. Okay. Every year we go on, we have more veterans who are entering the age where the percentage, my date of birth too, you know, years are getting there, right? So I'm comfortable, I mean, $7,500 with the $9,000 for readjustment is one more funeral, basically, right? At $9,000, and the $7,500 is only 3.5 funerals. And I don't think it's unrealistic that we could anticipate 3.5. So that's why I think the numbers are good. I know keeping it tight works, you know, so that no one, I guess, kind of gets expectations. Also, we try to give the public and our taxpayers a realistic idea of cost and effect. What we're going to set for levy rates. So I understand we don't want money just in there that we really don't think we'll use. I just think 3.5, there's a realistic that we could move to the 4. Given on past years, just as...
Yeah, so I don't disagree with that, except the math shows us that in 2017-2018 combined, it was 3.
Yeah.
Well, another thing, Mort, I was looking at is the 3-year average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that being $6,793, so that's
right.
Another thing that kind of moved my thinking into this $7,500 number. Was looking at that, but that's just our proposal to the board, and the board can, you know, reduce it if you want to, or we just can't propose less than that by looking at looking at this.
You know, right.
I agree. $7,800 so far this year, 6 months. And yes, it can go up and down. I understand that, and it seems like it does a bit, but I don't see $7,500 for 12 months or 10 years.
Okay, and still rent payments. So I kind of combined both. I threw them both out there at the same time.
And you, going back, you recommend that The re-estimate at 4,000 seems reasonable.
Yep.
It's a little higher if you just double what you've paid out so far, but again, that's dependent on the economy and who applies.
Yeah, well, it's lower if you just double what we've spent so far. Yeah, so we spent $2,300 so far. How many do be $2,300 if we double? We spent
$1,150
double out of
$2,300.
I got it, yeah.
But I think when you look at our history, $4,000 is a solid number for rent payments, for an expectation of rent payments. Again, if we see the economy drop out or something, it's going to go up. But I just think it's a realistic number.
Okay, so four and four.
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
We go four on the rent payment. We're looking at other years.
Okay. And now that Mrs. Markley so kindly corrected my multiple pages, it looks like two. 4,000. Still pretty good. Once again, given that, you know, we may have an extra consumer come in for a couple months, right?
Yeah.
And that throws you off right away.
Yep.
But
we have the hard questions when this happens. You know, trying to help them. So it's not repeating month after month. So, yeah, and we want to use 21% of that line item. Utility we haven't used any, so.
Okay. All right. We'll adjust that. $4,000.
Okay.
Any final?
The other one that needs a little explanation is the tariff rate, which is it's not perpetual care. It is the grave markers that
sure.
We purchase. We have a rep in each of the American Legions that take care of the cemeteries. And I am so thankful for that. Because if we don't have that, I guess I'm taking care of the cemeteries. You know, so they come in and...
I guess look and see the look on Aaron's face right now.
So we're very lucky now. What had happened, the cemetery rep in Ames has passed away. And so the replacement was Jennifer Montrue, who's like probably in her 30s or 40s, right? So she goes out and she's going to look in these grave markers. So she's found a lot of damage marks. So a lot of our increase, we're at 150%, is bringing Ames cemeteries up to par a little bit. And then going forward, talking to the other, talking to Nevada Legion about this spring, let's get this one. Let's get your cemetery. If I don't get any damage markers out there.
Yeah. So Freddie Lundmore is going about 15 miles an hour. How it turns to the bend a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's the increase on that's a little bit of an increase there, and that's kind of what the plan is going forward.
What do you do about the non-owned cemeteries in the county?
What?
That non-owned cemetery, they're not municipal or affiliated with any church that the trustees take care of.
If there's a veteran buried there, we're going to get a marker to them.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Did you work with trustees on that?
Township trustees?
Yeah.
Usually there's somebody in the American Legion, whether it be, let's say, Collinsburg, Collins, whatever, wherever those small cemeteries, they'll have a military funeral, and right away we take a grave marker off and put on that grave.
And these markers are all in this county, we're able to leave them out there year-round, with the exception of Duff Avenue, the cemetery down in South Duff. They actually have to come out. They're just there for 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That cemetery is owned by... somebody in the morning, and they don't allow that, so they actually have to come out. They get stored at the Legion and get put back out. There's about 80 there. So
you don't think the story is that they get all to the end?
I figured that was going to come up somewhere, but no, we don't. And those markers are going to be returned to Wapaw County. So I talked to the VA director yesterday, and we're just holding on to them for a little bit, and we'll get them back down to them in probably April when we start spring school.
So somebody did remove some
So some markers in Wapello County, so you're saying, and they ended up in Story City.
Kind of unintentional, really. Okay. It seems like it just kind of happened, but I don't think anybody meant to do this. It's just kind of worked out that way.
Okay.
Lucky that, and actually, the guy that actually found these was on our state mental health commission. I was talking to him yesterday about it. So if you see any grave markers out there for sale,
go check them out then.
Yeah, let me know.
He can go back to Story City and come and check.
He's banned.
Banned from that store. So that's the cost of doing business, I guess, right?
Right.
And so is the sergeant from Story City Police Department.
So,
there was about 25 or so markers.
Well, thank you everybody for your service and all of your efforts again. We'll move forward.
We still have a great commission here, and so we're moving forward and trying to do the best thing that we can and help veterans every day.
Okay.
At the end of this, there's comments made about the flag poles out front, the ones for the Veterans Memorial here at the site.
Okay.
And one of the poles has a work broke on it right across the state. Are those counties, or is that one in the region, or who is this? Pardon? Yes.
Yeah, the American flag pole, you can literally take it and just move it around. The state one, I didn't really check that one, I guess. But then the POW one is actually banned. So, I mean, as far as I know, it's a county memorial for veterans, and we've never.
You know, really.
I don't know how old those poles are. So, maybe there's something we could do to replace those or repair those.
Email.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.